Greet each one in Christ's name this morning. Glad to be here and been blessed to be here. Bring you greetings from Hepburn Street congregation. And we always enjoy visitors there. Welcome to come and visit us. This morning I want to talk a little bit about the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength comes out of Nehemiah 8. And I think I'm going to read some of those verses and would like to talk a little bit about the joy of the Lord and then also the strength, how that is our strength. There are many times in life, I suppose you face things too, that can feel like they take your joy or the joy isn't there, or and it's just good for me to come back and look at the joy of the Lord. Let's read Nehemiah 8. I think I'm going to read verses 1 to 12 at this time. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both the men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, before the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and all the ears of the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shemaiah, Ananiah, Uriah, and Hilkiah, and Messiah, on his right hand, and on his left hand, Pediah, Mishael, Micaiah, Hashem, Hashbaniah, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua and Benaiah, Sherebiah, Jaim, Hechbab, Shabbathiah, Hadjai, Messiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jezebed, Hanam, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tershabbath, and Ezra the scribe, priest the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they had heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Maybe just a little bit of a backdrop to this. They had been captives in Babylon and been working at rebuilding the wall, and they were finally allowed to come here and live back in their home country, back in their homeland. And Nehemiah was reading the law to them. Nehemiah is reading God's word to them. And they realized that they were not doing what they should have been. They realized they were not following God's law. And I'm not sure what all, but they must have been mourning. They must have been weeping, because Nehemiah told them to stop, you know. This is a joyful day, and I see it because God was giving them another chance. God was giving them a chance to come back to Him and serve Him and worship Him. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah wanted them to realize that as they come back to God, they can understand that God is the strength. God is the one to give them joy to live again, joy to follow Him. We can also look at Galatians 5, where the fruit of the Spirit is, and talks about joy in there. Joy gives the idea of happiness that goes beyond the present circumstances, a happiness that comes from within, or a state of emotional being that doesn't have to fluctuate with the environment around us. Joy. What is the joy of the Lord? So I think of the joy of the Lord, is it not when we can have and we know that we are in God's will and have His smile of approval in our life? Is it not knowing His love, His compassion, His mercy, His grace? The joy of the Lord. I just had to think a little bit, what brings God joy? Isaiah 65, verses 18 and 19. There's two verses that, one place it talks about the joy of God. 65:18, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. When God makes a new heaven and a new earth, He is going to rejoice in the people at Jerusalem. I know this is prophetic, but I know God will joy with the people that had a relationship with Him. These people will be people that followed Him in life, and God joys in them in that. Also Luke 15:10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. God's joy is here this morning over people that follow Him. People that choose to voluntarily follow His commandments. It is only right that we should have the joy of the Lord this morning if we call ourselves Christians. And we need to know God to have that joy. A few things, what brings joy to a Christian, just a few points. First one I have is knowing God. You can turn to 1 John 2. As I study a subject like this, we could go in many directions. We could go to many different passages. And I trust you can bear with me that I don't touch everything, but we will try to skim the surface here. 1 John 2:1-6. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Knowing God brings joy. We start out from little on up. We say we know God. We hear about God. We know that God is a being in heaven. As we get older, we start realizing that we need to know God personally. We need to know God deeper. And as we know God, we're going to understand the joy that God has. We're going to understand and be able to comprehend part of the joy that we can have knowing Him. John 17 is a few verses I wanted to read. John 17, verses 1 to 3. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. As we know God, we can have eternal life. We can have a personal relationship with God and commune with him. It was brought out in a Sunday school lesson this morning about the relationship that Adam and Eve had. And it is different, but we can come back and have that personal relationship with God again because we know him. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And I think, too, as we endeavor to know God more, as we endeavor to study into his word, we come to the realization that God is all we need, but God is the only one that can give us what we need. God is our all. What brings joy to a Christian? Abiding in Christ. Turn to John 15. John 15, I'm going to read verses 1 to 8, talking about Christ, the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, that they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Abiding in Christ. It's a very familiar account, very familiar verses here about abiding in Christ, the true vine, being grafted into the true vine. We cannot bear fruit that God will look at unless we are part of this vine, part of Christ. It says, unless we bear fruit, unless we bear fruit for God, we're going to be cast aside. We're going to be cut off and cast aside and burned up. If we don't abide in Christ, verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. We can't have anything. We don't have anything without being part of this vine. But then as we are part of this vine, we are there growing. We are there trying to flourish. And what does God do? He comes along and prunes us. He comes along and cuts off the things that slow us down, the things that bog us down. He purges us, has the meaning of cleansing or pruning. God will cut us back. And if we allow that to be done, it'll make us more productive. I think as we go through life, it's hard to see that in the present. But hopefully we can look back in our Christian life and, you know, I have grown. I have changed my thinking in this area. We need to keep growing. We need to keep abiding in Christ. God wants us to get rid of those things in our life that hinder us from fully following him. If we allow the pruning in our lives, we can become more like Christ and be vessels fit for his service. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I believe, too, as we abide in Christ, thinking of joy, the joy of the Lord, as we abide in Christ, it'll keep us more level-headed. I'm not sure how to put it into words, but it'll keep us from going into the depths of despair to the head in the clouds type of a feeling. As we have our joy in God, as we have the true joy that God gives us, we'll be able to go with Him with our sorrows and our joys. And we can go to Him when we are in despair, when we are in discouragement, we can go to Him instead of just staying in discouragement or staying in despair. As we have true joy in life, it'll keep us from following our feelings and emotions, but it'll help us to realize that God is there with us in our feelings and emotions. Right along with that, God does tell us to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. God sees our emotions. God sees our circumstances, and we need to realize that God is there with us. That comes out of Romans 12, verse 15. And God also tells us to glory in our tribulations. Romans 5, verse 3. As Christ is with us, we can see God working in every circumstance in life and allow His hand to guide us. I think it just comes back to realizing that God is there. He cares about us wherever we are, wherever you find yourself in life. What causes a Christian to have joy? Having love one for another. The latter part of John 15, verses 9 to 14. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Talking about our joy being full, here it's talking about following Christ's commandments, and one of them is to love one another, that our joy might be full. Christ loved us as He had been loved, and we need to love as we have been loved. And I believe as we have that love for one another, as we pass it on, as we receive love from Christ, we can have that, we can be full of joy. And I have to think, as Christ passed his love on to us, as the Father, as God loved Christ, do you think Christ felt that love when he was on the cross? I'm not here to say whether he did or not, but he did say, "My Father, or why hast thou forsaken me?" He was human, just like we are at times, yet he knew it was facts that God still loved him. And it should help us to love one another. It should help us to receive the love of others, because we know that Christ loved us, even though at times might not feel that way. It might not be, we might be in circumstances we wonder, but we can still have the joy of the Lord. We need to give that self-sacrificing love, not expecting anything in return. You know, it is after we've said we've loved someone, it's after we've worked with someone, it's after we've done all we could, and what do we feel in return from that person? Nothing. We feel rebuttal. That's when we need to start loving someone. What brings joy to a Christian this morning? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a little bit, but I want to turn back to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. In the last day, That great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come out unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Also, Ephesians 5:18 says, And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, it's going to flow out to those around us. It's going to be evident in our lives. As we know, this Holy Spirit is not something we can see, but we can see the effects of it. People will see God in us as we exemplify Christ and are led by His Spirit. This living water is the Spirit of God come flowing through us as we are led by His Spirit. That verse in Ephesians can be very interesting. My mind just went a little bit. If you've been around anybody that's been drunk, they do things that don't make sense to someone that isn't. How is it with us when we're filled with the Spirit? Do we do things that don't make sense to those that aren't filled with the Spirit? It's maybe a poor illustration, but I think at times as Christians, we're going to do things that don't make sense to those that aren't filled with the Spirit. What a joy we can have when we follow God's commandments and know that His Spirit and eternal life is within us and nothing can take it away. What brings joy to a Christian? The repentance of sinners and also a walk with God. 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John refers to my little children several times. John was talking to the many people he had ministered to, and it helped on a relationship to God. And he had no greater joy than to hear that people turned their lives over to Christ. He had no greater joy than to hear that people were following God. And so it is, so it will be with each Christian, as we hear of others following God, as we hear of people following God with their whole heart, we can rejoice with those that have found Christ. We can rejoice with those that have overcome temptation. We'll be a help and encouragement to them. Now I want to go and look a little bit at the strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We all like strength. It makes things happen. It gets things done. As we have strength from day to day, physical strength, we can work. We think of machinery. It has a certain amount of strength. What does strength have to do with the Christian life? The strength of a Christian has a little more of the idea of a fortified place, a defense, a rock, a stronghold. You maybe could say it is the rock or it's a stability in our life. It is something maybe you could say is where we come back to. As we go, sometimes you're playing a game and you get off a base, you come back to base. You come back, this strength, we can always come back to God. Something that we can hide behind. It's something that will overshadow us. Something that will give us power. The strength from God empowers us to do what would otherwise be impossible. Verse in 2 Timothy 3:5 says, Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It's a negative. A negative of the power. We don't want to look right. We don't want to just look right, but not have the power or the strength. But I believe sometimes that it's too easy to be that way. We don't actually realize the joy and the strength that God can give us. So a few areas that we need strength for today. And my mind right away went, well, we need strength for every area of our life. We do. As we go throughout life, we need strength. We need the strength of God. But I want to hit just a couple specific ones. And I'll start with to overcome temptation. We need strength this morning. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. We cannot overcome temptation this morning without Christ within us. Without this strength that is ours from God, we cannot consistently overcome temptation. And I've always liked this verse. God will not put us into a situation. God will not lead us into a situation that He won't help us through. But we have to take a hold of the promises of God, and we need to believe that God can deliver us. Christ was tempted yet without sin. We have that same power at our disposal that Christ had. Are we going to lay a hold of that strength? We need strength this morning to love one another. I had about this same one under what brings joy to a Christian. And sometimes it takes strength to love one another. 1 John 4. I'm going to be just picking and choosing a few verses here. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 and then 11. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then 19 to 21. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loved God love his brother also. We have an example of love here. We have a commandment of love here, that we need to love one another as we have been loved. God is love, as it says in verse 8. God loved us so much He sent His Son to take away sin, to be able to wash away the sin in our life. He sent His Son to die on the cross, that we can come to Him personally. God is not willing that any should perish. While Christ was on this earth, He extended His love to those about Him. He cared about one another. He cared about people's well-being and taught them what it would take to live with Him in glory. And we need to pass on this love. As I said before, some people, sometimes, some places, it's easy to love. The next time, it feels like you need the strength of the Lord to love people. And I don't think that's a sin, but we need to, God calls us to love one another, and we need to do that. What do we need strength for this morning? To tell others about God. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to, first of all, have this Lord God in our hearts. We need to be grounded on the Word of God. We need to have this strength, and then we can pass it. We can tell others about why, what we have within us, why we act the way we do. Also Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Sometimes it takes great strength to tell others about Christ. There are many other verses we could have looked at, but those are the few that I decided to look at this morning. Are we ready to tell others about God? Do we allow God to empower us to be the light, salt and a light to a dark world in need of light in their hearts? This strength this morning we need to realize is not our own. So often we tend to get off track and have to come back and realize that this is a strength from God. We need to come back and realize that God is the one that fortifies us. And as we think of this strength that God gives us, it's so hard at times to accept this strength because it does come with a price. It is free, but it comes with a price. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I just say this morning, we need to give ourselves over to God. We need to give our will, our life, over to God. We need to give our selfish will and live wholly for God and not for ourselves. And we can have this joy that then turns into strength in our Christian life. Let's kneel for prayer.